From Commando.com, this is Commando On Demand, where we talk to the industry movers and shakers to keep you up to date on everything digital. We'll get started in a moment, but first, we'd like to recognize and thank our partners who help make these Commando On Demand podcasts possible. Okay, a couple of years ago, I bet some of you, or your kids, spent some of your Christmas vacation in the theater watching the latest installment of the Star Wars franchise. It was a huge release back in 2016. The story of Rogue One. It takes place just before the events of the original 1977 film.
You think you might be able to help us?
When was the last time you were in contact with your father?
What is this?
Well, my son and his buddies, they were probably sitting right there next to you enjoying the movie. But I wonder if you noticed something that Ian did. It happened about 20 minutes into the movie.
Most unfortunate about the security breach on Jeddah, Director Krennic. After so many setbacks and delays, and now this.
In case you don't recognize that, it's the voice of a character by the name of Tarkin, who first appeared in the original film 40 years ago. But there he is, right now, acting as evil as ever, and without aging a day. So as Ian was telling me all about it, I googled the name of the actor who portrayed Tarkin, and that's when it got even creepier.
You have made Time an ally of the Rebellion.
Well, let me explain. That actor, Peter Cushing, he's been dead since 1994. So how is this possible?
Rogue One is just an example of a growing trend in Hollywood.
They're starting to use digital effects to bring actors back from the dead. What's even more astonishing, this digital wizardry isn't just limited to the big screen. It's actually coming to a stage near you very soon. I'm America's digital pro, Kim Commando. And in this Commando On Demand podcast, you're going to love it. We're going to talk with the folks who are resurrecting our favorite entertainers for a whole new generation to enjoy.
And before we get to all that, just stay right where you are, because I have to extend a special thank you to our partners in this podcast. They help make it possible. I'm talking about Quip, a brand new type of toothbrush you have to know about. All right, I know you've had parents and teachers and dentists telling you how to brush your teeth your whole life, and it seems like everybody has a different technique. One thing that they all can agree on is that you have to brush your teeth for a full 2 minutes. I've been telling my son Ian that for years. Ah, but not anymore. I have a Quip, and so does Ian. Quip is electric. It's small, it's light, it's sleek. There's a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you, are you ready for it? Yes, switch sides. You don't have to guess anymore. With Quip, new brush heads are automatically delivered, just like the dentists recommend, every 3 months for just $5. So you can just forget about it. Try Quip and see why it's backed by more than 20,000 dental professionals and me and my son Ian. We both love our Quip. Quip starts at just $25. That's it. Visit getquip.com/tech right now and you're going to get a deal. You get your first refill pack for free with any Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free. Yes. Absolutely free. Head over to getquip.com/tech. That's getquip.com/tech.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart.
Do you know that voice? That's Billie Holiday. She has to be one of the greatest singers in American history. Billie Holiday died tragically in 1959. But in 2015, more than 50 years after her death, Billie Holiday returned to the same stage that made her famous. You know what I'm talking about. The Apollo Theater in New York City. Well, you know, it wasn't actually Billie, of course, but what the audience saw that night was a really sophisticated digital recreation that was projected in 3D by a company called Hologram USA.
Now I'm no longer alone.
The idea now that is really starting to get realized now is to create original shows from deceased artists to project live events.
That's Alki David. He's the billionaire owner of Hologram USA. The company has become one of the leaders in this new kind of entertainment. Live recreations of artists who have passed away, like Billie Holiday, Frank Sinatra, and Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
Hologram USA's recreation of Tupac at the Coachella Music Festival in 2012 made headlines around the world. So let's just start there. How does all this work exactly?
Let me demystify it a little bit, okay? It's essentially photoreal animation based on the installation of very high-powered projectors. It's where it looks like you're experiencing a 3D image with great depth without the use of glasses. It's like looking at 3D without the use of glasses.
Hologram USA creates digital replicas of these stars. It's a process very similar to the CGI Hollywood uses. The finished replica is then cast onto a nearly invisible transparency by a series of really powerful projectors. The final result is a fairly convincing reproduction of your favorite artist. The technical wizardry doesn't impress everyone, though. The Tupac hologram at Coachella created a strong backlash from so many critics and fans. They said there was something unnatural about this technology. So, Alki, were you expecting that reaction?
I was hoping for that kind of backlash because that kind of controversy creates conversation and creates a mystique. You can call us necromancers, you can call us wizards or witches or whatever. That just adds to the conversation, and that's great, and I welcome the controversy. I really do.
This trend of recreating dead entertainers sometimes gives people the willies, but there's this magical quality to this technology. And when people don't understand something, they actually tend to then fear it.
What is perceived to be the great mystery is taking that content or that animation and projecting it in an environment and in a format that gives the audience the, and this is a very important word, illusion that they are seeing a life-size or larger than life-size image of a resurrected person.
Recreating dead entertainers is nothing new at this point. As soon as computer-generated effects became commonplace, Hollywood animators began to recreate our dearly departed. One of the first prominent examples was back in 1993. There was the film The Crow, starring Brandon Lee.
Suddenly, I heard a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
Lee actually died on the set of that movie. The filmmakers decided to complete the film by digitally grafting his face onto another actor's body. The results were fairly unconvincing. But 25 years later, the technology has improved so much that Rogue One was able to include a photoreal recreation of Peter Cushing. There are many other films that have used CGI to cover for actors who have died during production. A replica of Philip Seymour Hoffman was created for the final Hunger Games movie after his untimely death. The same goes for Paul Walker, who was digitally resurrected for the Fast and the Furious 7. But just because it's become commonplace doesn't mean that it's actually become easy.
We have to behave pretty much in the same way that a sculptor would with a ball of clay.
That's Mike McGee. He's the creative director of the digital effects company, The Frame Store.
And it's the same as if you're sculpting with your fingers and your hands on a real physical model. We have to make the best approximation of a three-dimensional shape by looking at two-dimensional images of a deceased person.
Coming up, Mike and his team were hired by a chocolate company. That company wanted to recreate Audrey Hepburn for one of their advertisements, and the results were pretty stunning.
So stay right where you are. We have a quick message from our sponsors who help make this podcast possible.
The ad is only 20 seconds long. It shows a young, beautiful, vivacious Audrey Hepburn flirting with a cab driver. It looks like a colorized outtake from the famous 1953 movie Roman Holiday. But that's not Audrey Hepburn. It took Mike and his team many months to make the illusion convincing.
So for us, we could get 95% of the way to a photoreal person in 50% of the time that we had to make that Audrey commercial. And the other 50% of the time was used up getting that 5% of what takes it from an uncanny computer-looking model into a photoreal humanistic image.
The process of creating these digital recreations is incredibly time-consuming. Making a digital character look convincing in a live-action film is hard enough. But making that character look like someone the audience knows and someone the audience loves is twice as difficult.
In the end, Mike McGee and his team had to rely on the people who knew Audrey Hepburn better than anyone else.
We had Audrey's sons actually being our final adjudicators, if you like, on how she looked, because they represented Audrey's estate, and they were the ones that said, yep, that is mum, that is how Audrey would have behaved or would have acted and would have looked.
Once an actor dies, the family often takes control of their estate. The estate can then decide how the actor's name and face will be used post-mortem. That used to mean deciding whether an advertiser could use an actor's picture in a print advertisement. But now, in the digital age, an actor's career can continue long after they've passed away.
And the technology, like all technology, just continues to dramatically improve and quickly improve. So we have a lot of discussions with a lot of different companies that involve this hologram type technology to use.
That's Los Angeles estate lawyer Mark Ressler. He's represented the estates of so many celebrities over the years, including Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly, Laurence Olivier. He's negotiated with Hollywood studios and advertisers to allow the recreation of some of his dead clients. The trend of using dead celebrities kicked off in the early 90s. You might remember this. James Cagney and Humphrey Bogart were used in a Diet Coke ad. A few years later, Fred Astaire was dancing once again in a series of advertisements for the Dirt Devil. And though it looked cool, the ad was controversial. Astaire's daughter approved the process, but his widow objected after it first aired. Mark Ressler says that an actor's estate may not be able to stop these recreations. That's because in many states, the law just hasn't kept up with technology.
We've spent the last 37 years trying to come up with legislation and to protect the rights of deceased celebrities. We have a lot of opposition out there. Major players like Google and a lot of these companies aren't in favor of increased protection for deceased personalities. So it's an uphill battle.
In 1999, the Astaire Bill passed in the California State Legislature. It provided a package of protections for entertainers who may or may not want their image to be used after they've died. That law allowed Robin Williams to include a provision in his will forbidding his image to be used in ads until 25 years after his death. But the legal entanglements aren't the only risk when using this technology. A computer-generated Orville Redenbacher was used in a 2007 popcorn ad, but the results caused an uproar. The creepy digital approximation of the beloved pitchman so unnerved audiences that the company was forced to retract the ad. So there are all kinds of objections about the use of this technology. There's the creepy factor, and then there's a ton of legal issues. But Peter Krupp, he's a professor of film and studies at the University of California, also has an artistic complaint. What happens when the movies start using dead actors instead of new actors?
When Harrison Ford was first cast in the movies that have made him well known, he had long been a working actor without household name recognition. And there could be other talent that is just as exciting, just as fascinating, just as interesting to use.
As a visual effects person myself, I think of the technology really as digital makeup. I really believe that you're taking a real actor and you're placing the most amazing makeup on them to make them look like another performer.
So back to Mike McGee. Do you think that this technology is going to put actors actually out of work?
If a director wants to direct that deceased actor, I think he or she still needs to direct a real actor to get a real performance. And then that performance can be translated onto the digital actor. So I see it as almost like digital makeup, that you capture a digital version of someone, but you still get that person's performance from a real live actor.
And where do you think this technology is going next?
The extension of where this technology can go to have real-time photoreal avatars that we could interact with in virtual reality worlds or augmented reality. I love the idea of being able to sit opposite Audrey Hepburn and ask her about her life, and through artificial intelligence accessing a database of everything about Audrey, she could actually tell me stories in real time.
You know what, Mike? I like that idea too. In fact, you could imagine all kinds of applications for this kind of technology beyond entertainment.
imagine a photo recreation of Abraham Lincoln that could tell you all about how he wrote the Gettysburg Address. I know what you're thinking. I saw that at Disneyland. No, this is going to be a heck of a lot better. Or maybe even 3D scans of our own loved ones could be the snapshots of the 21st century. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And special thanks goes to Alki David, Mark Ressler, and Peter Kropp for telling us more about this brave new world of digital entertainment. I have to admit, I had some misgivings about living in a world where entertainers never seem to die. But I suppose that has always been the case. Every time you watch a movie, you're actually going through a bit of a time machine. The movies capture moments that live on forever, long after the individual actors pass away. I'm America's digital pro, Kim Commando. Now, I hope you got as much as podcasts as we did here in the studios, putting it all together. That's one of the perks of working here, that we get paid to learn, and then we share that knowledge with you. Okay, your part is to pay it forward. It's free, so why not share this podcast, like it? And listen, if you have a topic that you'd love for us to explore and investigate, just let us know. And heck, if you have a question about something digital I can help you with, call 602-212-0058. Leave me your question and your contact information. That number again, 602-212-0058. I'll talk to you then.